Very happy to be here with you and grateful for the chance to share a little bit about my ministry and just what God's been doing in my life and through Restoration Project. That kind of give you a little bit of a glimpse of what a day in our shop might look like. What Restoration Project is we're a nonprofit and we teach woodworking skills to adults with developmental disabilities. And so we're able to take reclaimed materials and transform those materials into new items that we can then sell. And through that process, teach woodworking skills. And so it's been a fun learning curve of how to do woodworking and how to work with people. I started Restoration Project about 3 years ago, and at that point that when I started thinking about Restoration Project and what it was going to be, I had no experience in woodworking, so that's the starting point, and I'd worked for 15 years in group homes, and I'd worked a lot with people with disabilities, and I'd seen this reality that there was not a lot of place of meaningful production and value and chance for them to really engage in things that brought pride to them. And so I was struggling with this tension of how do we create something that provides meaning? But in my own life, I was in this place that I was struggling a lot. I was dealing with a bout of depression, a lot of anxiety, and I just wasn't in a great place in life. And God started to place these seeds and dreams in my life, and I kept being like, God, this is not the right time. Like, I am not ready to start something like that. I am not ready to lead anything, let alone start something from scratch. And I think it was really this moment of the blessed are the poor moments in our lives when we realize that it's at those moments that we have nothing to offer that God can step in. When we have nothing in ourselves, that God actually shows up. And so I kind of said, you know what, God, I don't have anything that I can bring to this. And so I'm just going to hold on tight and see what doors start to open. And so the process of starting Restoration Project was just conversations. Let's see what conversations come. And as those conversations started happening, God started opening some incredible doors and making things happen. And one of those conversations was with Sue Carr at 541. And she said, I've just heard about this grant. It's for young entrepreneurs through the BIC, which is the Brethren in Christ or the Meeting House. I think you should apply. And I was like, oh, like that's like taking something that's in my head now and actually like making it real. And so I put this application in, and I think there was about 50 applicants, and we got moved to the final 12. And so at that point when I got that call, I was like, oh, now I have to start a nonprofit because they're coming to interview me and they want to see what we're actually doing. And so that was really the launch pad for our first workshop and what we did, and we got the grant. And so then I really needed to start a nonprofit because we were in the realm of doing this grant. And so that was really the starting process. It was not this grand, I did not have a five-year plan laid out. I did not have all the pieces in place. It was simply, God, what do you want to do? And recognizing that God had started to place these ideas and these dreams that were getting me excited in a time that I was trying to find purpose and meaning, and I was trying to find just what God was doing in my life. And it was really an answer to his prayer. And shortly in that time, as we were starting, like I said before, I had no woodworking experience. And so and you might ask, why did I start a nonprofit for woodworking? And it was this, that it's a good question to ask. A lot of people ask me at the beginning. It was this, that I saw a lot of building materials being thrown away, and so it just seemed like a good business plan that if people are throwing wood away and it's free and we can make things that are sellable out of it, we can make a bigger profit margin. And so I thought I should learn woodworking. I knew I liked to work with my hands. And so, yeah, I started to watch YouTube videos. And so I would be down in the shop late at night before our workshops, watching YouTube videos of what we were going to make the next day, so that I knew that I could teach what we were going to make the next day. And in that times, there was these moments that God just spoke so clearly. And it was, what he spoke was this, that Restoration Project was going to be as much about my own restoration and what he was doing in my life as what he was going to do through it. And that has been incredibly true. And so I'd love to just take some time and share with you guys a little bit about what are some of those lessons of restoration that God has taught me. And yeah, and continues to teach me. And I think from when we look at the scriptures, we can actually start to look at it through a lens of restoration and realize that from Genesis to Revelation, it's the story of God's restoration. It's the story of God's restoration of humanity. And we see in Genesis how humanity sins and walks away from God, and separation is created between God. And God then starts this beautiful narrative of how he's going to restore humanity to them, to himself. Because at the very core of restoration, it's this idea of, when in the video it talked about to bring back into existence or to reestablish as a definition. But what God's actually trying to do is to bring back into existence and to reestablish relationship. The core of restoration, or God's restoration, is relationship. How can he bring us back into relationship with himself? And how can we then become into better relationship with one another and better relationship with creation? And so this idea and this narrative of restoration is God bringing back relationship and restoring relationship. And so we see in Genesis that humanity walks away from God and he brings them back and he starts this narrative of restoration. And then we go through and we see through Abraham that that's the start of the narrative, that God promises that through his descendants he's going to create a nation, and that nation is going to point other nations to God. And then we get the Levitical laws, and we see this idea that God gives these Levitical laws that allow for atonement, that for a just God, his people can do rituals, so they can do these ceremonies that will then bring them back into relationship with God. And again, Israel rejects God. Again and again, they walk away. And yet God keeps pulling them back. And through the prophets, we see that God constantly sends his prophets with words of truth to say, come back to me. Come back to relationship with me. And as we go through the prophets, we get to the gospel. And the gospel is that story. It is the climax of God's restoration, the cross, where humanity is restored. And yet even then, after the cross, after we're given our true restoration, the true way that we can access God, we get the epistles, and they're the story of God saying to the church, you're falling away again. You're not quite doing it the way that it needs to be done. And so here's some direction of how I can bring you back to me. And we end in Revelation, and it's this beautiful picture of what final restoration is going to be like. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. The former things have passed away. And that's our hope. That's our hope of final restoration. And so as I started to see the lens of the scriptures through restoration, I started to find this hope that it wasn't just these rules that I had to follow, or God condemning or judging, or all this shame that I was feeling in my own life. It was actually hope-filled that God was wanting to start to bring restoration. And so those were kind of the early points of learning What is restoration and what does that look like? And so I want to grab this piece of wood real quick. I'm going to take the water out because that would be bad. So this would be something that we would start with. It's an old fence board. And this fence board, or that box, was actually made out of these fence boards. And so part of our process when we take a piece of wood, and we're actually going to do a lot of this process with the pews that were in this building, and so we're incredibly grateful that we were able to take some of those and be able to restore them, and excited to show pictures probably of what those become. But this process of restoring this wood, and so this was an old fence that was thrown away. It wasn't actually thrown away. It was put on Kijiji. It was going to be thrown away. And so I sent my summer students last year to go take it down, and they took down about 140 feet of fence. So we have some left still because that's a lot of fencing. But so this wood that was going to be thrown away, and it's kind of gross and gray and there's holes in it, it would be very easy to overlook. And I find that with a lot of the individuals that we work with, is the beauty that's inside them is very easy to overlook. And at first glance, you may not actually see the skills and the abilities and just the personalities that are in them. And so when you start to get to know them and you start to hear their stories and you start to just really just come to love them, it's this incredible picture of seeing past the surface, right? Seeing past the things that are just on the surface. And so when we start our process of reclaiming a piece of wood, we'll throw this through the planer. And the we don't start with the planer, because actually what we first start doing is pulling out all the nails. If we put it through the planer with nails in, then it wrecks the planer and I have to put new blades in it. So we pull out all the nails and we actually start with the big things, and we start taking out, so we take it apart and then we pull out the nails. And that was something that first struck me with God, is this realization that for God to start restoration, we actually have to sometimes pull out the big things in our lives, the sin and the hurt and the things that are causing separation, that there's these big things sometimes that need to be pulled out before the part. And that actually is part of restoration. And so that was like the first thing that I was like, I need to start figuring out what in my life are those big nails that need to come out. And I think that's kind of our starting point. How do we figure out what are the things that God wants to pull out of our lives? And the reality is that if it's a brand new fence and it's a new nail and it's shiny, it usually pulls out right away. But then there's like those old rusty ones that are bent and stuck in and that have been there forever, and they're a pain to get out. They do not come out easily. And sometimes I just get in this battle with a nail that'll be stuck in a board, not really because like it has to come out, but sometimes it would just be easier to cut that piece out off where it is. And I actually realize that I'm like, oh no, I want that out, because it's like it really just becomes a competition between me and the nail, and so I want to win. But how much is that in our lives, right? That there's these things that are stuck and twisted inside, and we think that we have them and we realize we don't. And once we get these nails out, we're able to put the wood through the planer and start to get the new wood out, or the see what's underneath. And so if I were to put this through the planer, it would actually turn to that color of the box, and you start to see the grain and the beauty and these knots that are underneath. But there's this thing that sometimes happens as we start planing and sanding, is that there's actually hidden nails in the wood. Nails that you can't see from the surface, and that they're actually buried inside. And it was this moment of putting a piece of wood through the planer and it hit a nail. And I was like, ah, because then I have to change the blades and it's annoying. And it was just this like moment of God striking and me realizing that even when you think that you've pulled those big things out, even when you think you've gotten all those nails out, there's times where there's pieces of sin that are still hidden in our lives. And as God starts to plane the surfaces and God starts to refine us, we actually find those things hidden. And you're like, ah, I still have more work to do. God still has more work to do on me. And so we start to put things through the planer, and then we're able to sand it and finish it. And it's this beautiful picture that we're actually never done, that we're actually never finished. There's more that can be done, and we can sand things, we can round the corners, we can start to paint them. There's always these finishing touches. And that's part of the process of restoration, is that there's finishing touches that can happen as God restores us and heals us and brings us to become more new. I'm going to put that there. Hopefully it falls. No, not hopefully it doesn't fall. But when we look at this box, we actually realize that it's a completely new creation. It's this new creation that has made out of something old. And isn't that our lives in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." And at times, the old is almost unrecognizable. At times, you actually wouldn't even realize that this box was a fence post. And sometimes we'll turn these fence posts into tables. Sometimes we'll turn them into coasters. But the reality is that the new creation that we've made is actually unrecognizable. And that's God's desire in our life, that through restoration and through his healing and through his work, the old is unrecognizable. The person that we were before Christ is unrecognizable with who we are in Christ. Our lives are so transformed that we're a new creation. And it's not that our past is forgotten. It's not that the past life of this fence board is forgotten, but it's actually made new. It's given new life. And so when we look at the past, we see that, you know, you can still see the old nail holes. You can still see some of, like, those are probably beetle, probably dug into it at some point and made some beetle holes. And so you can still see these marks that give the story of what it was, but they actually bring beauty to it. They actually bring the story of restoration to it. You actually are able to see that this was something old that is now new. And so I've come to realize too that our scars tell stories. And a couple of years ago, probably about 5 years ago, I was riding my motorcycle down a road in Trafalgar, or not in Trafalgar, in Milton, up Trafalgar. And I was riding, and two cars in front of me made a sudden right-hand turn. And so the car in front of me slammed on their brakes, and I slammed on my brakes, but I slammed on my back brake. And if anyone who rides a motorcycle, you might know that when you slam on your back brakes, you lose control. And so my back wheel locked up and it started to fishtail. And so I had a choice of hitting the car in front of me or laying my bike down. And so I laid my bike down. I probably panicked. I might have been able to, like, pull it out. But either way, laid my bike down. And so I crashed. I had all my gear on, and so I was lucky. But I got a burn on my arm. And so it was a pretty big burn across here. And as it started to heal, it was this weird, like, I don't know if anybody's been burned, it made this weird leopard pattern. And so I got all these, like, dots in the middle, and it was this weird leopard pattern. And I remember thinking it was, like, the grossest scar ever. But it was very hard to hide because it was, like, my entire forearm, and it was also in the summer. And so as, like, time went on, the leopard pattern slowly started to fade, and you can actually now only see it when I get even more tanned. But now when I look at it, I can see it, I can notice it regularly. I actually realize that it tells a story to me, not the story of the time that I crashed my motorcycle and didn't have it anymore, because that was a sad moment, but it actually tells me the story of God's protection, because I walked away from that accident with just a burn and a broken toe and 2 sprained pinkies. And in the realm of crashing your motorcycle at 80 kilometers an hour, that's actually pretty good. And I'm very prone to concussions, and so it was actually a slight miracle that I didn't get another concussion in that the ETM actually, like, gave me my helmet back, and he's like, I'm not really sure how, but, like, there's not even a mark on your helmet, but I would still replace it, was his words. And so I'm able to look at that scar, and I'm able to see God's protection. I'm able to be reminded. I'm also able to be reminded that I shouldn't do reckless things, which is a good reminder for me in life because I don't always make the wisest choices in regards to my physical safety. And so our scars tell stories. And we actually live a faith that is defined by scars. We live a faith that is defined by the scars of our Savior. And I love the story of Jesus meeting Thomas. And Thomas, the disciples were sitting and telling Thomas how they had seen the risen Christ. They had met Jesus. And Thomas says that unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And so Thomas is saying, I don't believe that that is my Christ until I see the scars in his hands. And in a true God way, he makes Thomas wait 8 days. And then he shows up to him and he appears to him. And he tells Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. See the scars that are there. And Thomas is able to believe. And it's this beautiful picture because God is God, and he could have resurrected Christ without those scars. He could have resurrected Christ, and the scars have been gone. I mean, God was actually the one that created the ability for scars to show, right? He could have created us to heal in a way that we don't actually have scars, and yet he created it so that the way that our cells heal themselves, they create a scar tissue that then has a mark. And so there's a reason for that, and I don't pretend to know the exact reason of why God gives us the scars, but I think maybe it's a sign of what we've been through. And it's a sign in our Christ of the victory of the cross. The scars don't actually represent the shame and the pain of the cross, but they actually represent the victory. Because they're not the wounds anymore, right? They're not the wounds in his hands. They're not the wounds in his side. But they're the healed scars. They're the healed scars of a Savior who died and rose. And that's the story of our faith, is that we are a faith that is defined by the scars of a Savior who rose and found victory over death. And so when we look at restoration and we look at the things in our lives that are broken, the pain, the guilt, the hurt, and whether it's caused by ourselves or others, that we actually can find victory in those things, that we're actually given the opportunity to be able to say, these aren't wounds anymore, that God has restored me, God has brought healing. And now they're signs of victory of what God has done, because they're the signs of restoration. But it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. My arm did not heal overnight. It was months of bandages. It was months of raw skin. And then it was a year of weird leopard-printed skin. And then slowly it started to heal, right? And that's the reality of our brokenness, is that the process of restoration is that. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But when we invite God into those places, we're able to see him start to work. We're able to see him start to give us hope. We're able to see him start to restore something that was old and make it new. And I love that through the process of woodworking, I'm able to tell that story. And that's our hope of Restoration Project, is that we're able to tell this story of the nature of God's restoration through this physical transformation. And we're able to do it with a people group who are often overlooked. We're able to do it with people who are often put to the margins of society. And we're able to say, no, look, God's restoring their life while they restore these pieces of material. And it's this beautiful picture of the kingdom of God. And it's just this small glimpse of maybe what the kingdom could look like here on earth. And we love that people can come in and say, huh, there's something different here. There's something different, and we get to tell this story. I don't know if you saw in the video at the beginning when they were like stuffing in a piece of paper into the middle of wood. So sometimes I like to come up with random ideas, like starting a nonprofit when I don't know woodworking. But one of the things that we do is called our truth collection, and it's this idea that often the truth, there's truth inside each one of us. And there's beauty inside each one of us, and often it's overlooked. Often it's not seen, but it's known by the Creator. And so in our cutting boards, our guys write out, whether it's scripture or some kind of redemptive quote, and they roll it up, and they stuff it inside the wood, and then they close it up. And we're able to tell this story of the idea that within each person is a truth, and within this cutting board is a truth that is known only by the Creator. And I think that's the power of restoration, is being able to say there's truth and beauty inside, and even if it's only known by the Creator, it's there. It's there, and it's able to start to come to the surface, right? And so when we look at our lives and we look at God's restoration, we're able to say, God, start this process. What is it that you want to remove from my life? What are the big nails that need to come out first? Or maybe we're past the big nail point and we're at the point that, man, God, just keep putting these finishing touches on me. Keep refining me. Keep shaping me. And those finishing touches are the things that are just constantly making us more like Christ, constantly drawing us more into the likeness of his son. And so I want to read a quote by Vanier, because he's able to put things in words better than I am. And he's reflecting on Hosea. And it says, I will give her back vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And this is what Vanier says. He says, the valley of Achor is situated near Jericho. Is a dangerous place filled with snakes, scorpions, and all kinds of wild beasts. It has a place of fear that people tried to avoid. Yet God declares that this valley of misfortune will become a door of hope. What a mystery filled with hope. There is a valley of Achor in each one of us. For each of us, there are events and hurts in our lives that we do not want to remember, to look back at, or come close to. There are people and experiences that we try to avoid because they bring up too much pain in us, and we are frightened by pain. Certain people disturb us. They are strange or different, and we cannot bear their pain or the pain they evoke in us. Yet God tells us that if we want to enter these places of pain and welcome these people, they will become to us a door of hope. If we become close to the people our societies reject, exclude, and crush, people who are hidden away in asylums, we will discover that they can become a door of hope. So if we accept the things inside our own lives that we reject, the blockages, the bitterness, the fears, all that we may be ashamed of, if we dare to penetrate into our inner valley of Achor, it will indeed become a door of hope for us. But we cannot do it alone. We need to walk hand in hand with Jesus, to let him guide us and reveal to us the heart of his gospel. And isn't that the beauty of the gospel? That the places of brokenness become places of hope. That the places of hurt can actually become places of hope for others. And so that's the challenge. And that's my hope, that through Restoration Project, we can actually direct people and show people that God is a God of restoration. He's a God that wants to bring new life into our pain, new life into the darkness. He's a God that wants to transform people into new creations. And through that process of transformation, that he challenges us to use those places of hurt and to use those places where that were once wounds and now scars as hope for others, as hope for a hurting world that desperately needs the restoration of Christ. And so my hope is that for each one of us in this room, we can embrace God's restoration in our own lives. We can embrace what he's doing, not only for our sake, but for the sake of the hurting world that's outside these doors. So thanks.